So my dad, who happens to be here this morning, good to see you, sir. My dad is a storyteller. And if one were to do an objective assessment of his tales, he would best be described as an imperfect storyteller. I mean, he's a good storyteller. He's just also imperfect. There are times I listen to him tell a story that I was present to watch happen, and his story and my memory don't exactly line up. I mean, the distances get longer, the objects get bigger and heavier, the challenges get more complicated, and somehow my sister always gets more adorable. Like I said, he's an imperfect storyteller, but he's good. I mean, the stories are captivating. They are worth remembering, even if he doesn't remember he's told it to you before. And some of the stories are so poignant, you begin to feel like you were there. There are times you hear a story enough, you begin to have memories of the event, even if you weren't there. Or sometimes you begin to have memories of the event, even if you were there, but you were just too little to remember for yourself. Right? In all of our lives, there are these moments where the stories become our memories. And one of my favorite memories is of getting stuck in the mud. Okay, well, again, this is not so much a memory as it is a story that has become my memory. So let me share this with you as my dad tells it. I was about 4 years old or so, and my folks were doing some landscaping at the house where we lived. They'd taken this little rolly hill and turned it into a little bit of a terrace and built up a couple flower boxes, two levels of railroad tie garden boxes. My dad had filled them with soil and then left the hose on a trickle to help the dirt settle, right? To get it a little more compact so we can fill it appropriately. Now, having watched the project all day and having helped some, please note my use of air quotes on the word help, I have, of course, been many times told to stay clear of the project zone when the grown-ups weren't there and to leave it alone. Now, it was one of those evenings the softball team was coming over, and so everybody was out back. I mean, it was one of those perfect hallmark of a summer in Minnesota, right? There's the smell of the grill and the sound of the bug zapper, and everyone's just having a good time. Now, as the meal wound down and conversations were abounding, someone noticed that I wasn't interrupting every 5 seconds with stories of my own. You see, it may not surprise you that by the age of 2, I already knew the definitions of verbose, precocious, and extrovert. Now, having noted that I wasn't interrupting the adult conversations, and then looking over to notice that I also was not annoying the children my own age, they started to wonder where I was. So, a small party of grown-ups was dispatched to locate me. Now, they couldn't hear much, but then as my dad and my godfather came around the corner of the house without an obstacle to block the sound, they could begin to hear the tears of a child. But these weren't just any tears. These were the tears of a child that sort of gave you two messages at the same time. You see, part of the message was, I don't like the circumstances I'm in and something is wrong. But the other message coming through in the tears was, I know I'm going to be in trouble for this. You know, that crying. As they came around the corner and heard these tears, standing in the middle of this new terracing, waist deep in black Minnesota topsoil, tears rolling down my face, there I was, stuck. No one really knows how long I'd been there. My dad reached in and tried to pull me out, only to have the mud suck me further in as he tried. So eventually my godfather and my dad have to straddle, standing on the railroad ties, each one grabbing an arm, pulling me up and out from this mud, slowly, inch by inch, as the mud slowly gave way. Now, depending on which version of the story you hear, in some accounts my pants did not make it out of the mud with me. But since this is church, let's just say that they did, okay? Now, by the time the rest of the party has come around to the front of the house, my mom has had to grab the hose, and I hang there dangling between my dad and my Uncle Bill as I get sprayed from head to toe right there in the yard. Now, once wrapped in a towel, I get the biggest hug that told me both I was all right and I should have listened. That hug. Now, I love this story. And I love listening to my dad tell this story, as imperfect a storyteller as he is. Now, over the years, have I wondered how deep I really sunk in? Yeah, I've wondered how deep I really sunk in. Have I wondered if it really took two grown men to pull me out? Yeah, there's times I've wondered that aspect of the story. Or have I wondered if my shoes and pants truly were victims of this situation? Oh, I've wondered all those things and more. And I will never know for sure, because everyone who was there now remembers the story more than they remember the actual event. And it's not a perfect story. But the perfect version of this story would not be memorable and would not have become a memory for me. See, the story doesn't have to be perfect. The story doesn't have to be perfect for me to know that children are easily tempted and often don't listen to instructions. The story doesn't have to be perfect for me to know that the people who love me will always come looking for me. The story doesn't have to be perfect for me to know that mistakes sometimes take several people and a lot of work to clean up. The story doesn't have to be perfect for me to know so many different truths about myself and my family and the world. The story doesn't have to be perfect. Because when I choose the people that I trust to tell me stories, they aren't perfect people and they aren't perfect storytellers. But they do have integrity. You see, nothing in that story is imperfect in such a way that it undermines the truth of what happened. The truth of that story is still held there. You see, the stories that I remember and the storytellers that I love, they carry integrity. And that's exactly how I approach the Bible. You see, if you approach the Bible looking for perfect storytelling, you will be disappointed. If you want everything in the Bible to line up perfectly without contradiction or omission of any necessary and supporting details, you're going to be frustrated. And if you want our scriptures to offer you only the answers you need without ever raising any questions, please don't open the book. Because that's not how stories work. And our scriptures are filled with beautiful and wonderful stories of life. Now, when I use the word stories, I don't want you to think I'm discounting the power. In fact, I respect it greatly. When I say they're filled with stories, I don't mean fanciful, made-up tales. When I say stories, I don't mean fables that are only good for a moral that might be at the end of them. And nor do I mean that they're some kind of tall tales that were simply made up by simple people for grasping at meaning. They are honest-to-goodness stories. Actually, this might be the time to say they are honest-to-God stories. And they are stories that are told with integrity. When I look through our scriptures, what I find are stories that, though they may have their imperfection, are not imperfect in such a way as to undermine the truth of what is truly being shared within. The stories that were remembered, the storytellers who passed them on, they have integrity. Now, when I sit with my scriptures and I'm flipping through Genesis, do I ever question if there really were two people in a garden eating a piece of fruit? Yes, sometimes I question if that's exactly how it went down. Yet this story doesn't have to be perfect for me to know that humanity is easily tempted and often doesn't listen to instructions. Now, do I ever question if an entire country was enslaved for generations and then set free by a guy with a walking stick and a bunch of plagues? And then only to be freed to wander through the desert for 40 years on a walk that could have taken 40 days? Yeah, sometimes I wonder the specifics of that story. But that story doesn't have to be perfect for me to know that the God who loves us will always come looking for us. Or not only throughout Genesis, but throughout many different places in our scriptures, do I sometimes get caught up in the many different ways our scriptures talk about grace, forgiveness, and relationship? Yeah, I do, because it's complicated stuff. But the story doesn't have to be perfect for me to know that mistakes sometimes take a lot of help and a lot of work to clean up. You see, the story doesn't have to be perfect for us to know so many different truths about ourselves, about our tradition, and about the world. The story doesn't have to be perfect for for us to know with integrity who our God is, can be, and will be. So rather than getting caught up in the perfection, we are invited to look for the messages that are carried with integrity by the stories in our scriptures, stories that are worth remembering. Amen.